It's all good. blessing for being here. All right, let's have an opening word of prayer. Father, thank you for a great evening. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. That you would speak to our hearts through your word. Thank you for Brother Crew and his willingness to come and be with us. Pray that you would use him. Thank you now for our time together. We pray that you would receive the honor and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Don't have any special announcements other than trust everybody will have a great weekend this weekend as we look at our country and the heritage that we have. Obviously, we are way, way off from where we're supposed to be, but at least we had a heritage at one time. And God hasn't changed. We have
right.
And that's our problem. We have to get back to what we had at the foundation of our country. That's going to be very difficult to do unless God brings revival, and that's what we should be praying for. But considering what we're going through in our country right now, and you can just see it's getting closer and closer for the return of Christ. No question about that. And there's no doubt in my mind that what we're currently experiencing with this coronavirus and everything else, it's just another step in the direction of one more government and them taking control of everybody. There's no question that that's what's happening right now. We're heading in that direction. But the Lord knows. And we just need to be faithful, given him. Brother Hoover here has been talking about the tasks that we've been given to do from Matthew 28 and other passages. We already know what we're supposed to be doing. We just have to do it. Sometimes we wonder why, in specific instances, God doesn't reveal his will to us. Most often, it's because we are doing what we already know his will is in other areas. And once we do that, then he promises to tell us what we need and let us know. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 is the scripture passage we've been learning. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. All right. Very good. Jason, that's super. 248. 248.
Thank you.
really good song. I've mentioned this here several times, but songs like that remind me of when Rudy Atwood was alive. And this kind of song he played very often. It's been gone a few years now, but I can still hear his music in my head. All right, before Brother Fruit comes, we'll take just a moment or two to look at any prayer requests anybody has. Yes, Jason.
Pray for Kelly. She's 1 week into a new drug that is out for her cystic fibrosis. It's called Trikafta. And she did not get approved for it at the first couple times that her doctor submitted it because she has a very unique strain of the cystic fibrosis. Her genetic mutation is one in a million out of a million. And so very little research goes into the specific mutation that she has. But her doctor believed that she would be able to see some benefit from this, and they were finally able to sell it to the insurance company, who finally agreed to cover it for 90 days to try it. And a lot of the people who have been taking this drug have noticed significant improvement. Some of them are even living life as if they don't even have the disease. So she's a week into it. She already feels like, I'm hoping it's not the placebo effect, but she says, I feel better already. So the first month and a half is what they call a detox stage, where the body essentially cleans out all your sinuses and everything involved with the sinuses and the lungs. So she's going through that right now, so she's coughing a lot. She doesn't really feel all that great because of that, but she knows that that's because of this drug, and it's supposed to happen. So pray that this gives her some benefit, and maybe she can postpone hospital stays. Amen. Instead of going four times a year, the goal is to get her in there once or twice a year. And so we'll see. Pray for that. The drug's called Trikafta. It isn't something we could afford if it wasn't for the insurance. It's about $500,000 a year. You have to pay for it yourself. Which is why they bought that at the beginning of it. That's why they didn't want to pay it. But her hospital team told the insurance company if she can limit her hospital stays instead of having 4 to 6 a year, that's going to easily pay for this drug. Because one hospital stay is $250,000 every time.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah. Pray for my son, my eldest, Jason. He is going to the hospital on July the 8th. He is giving away his kidney, one of them, to a friend of their family, friend that they know. So just pray for him that everything goes well. Is it getting done at exactly at Valley Hospital?
Okay. I don't know if he said.
Okay. His oldest son, Jason, is donating his kidney coming up on the 8th to a friend of their family. So just pray that everything goes well there. The recipient does well, and Jason as well, to recover from doing that. Yes?
Pray for a young man in our church. His name is Logan Campbell. He was born, he had one of the valves in his heart. Just didn't work properly, and he's going to have a heart replacement eventually. They don't want to do it right now. He's 23. He's going to have to do a heart replacement there's a limited amount of years after that. So they're trying to wait to do that. But because the heart's not pumping right, the blood, I don't understand all this, the blood is supposedly backed up in his liver. And it's done his liver a lot of damage. And he had an MRI this week. They thought that he could have liver cancer, but that was not so, so that's a good thing. But they're still going to have to figure out something to do. His heart's doing good right now, better than they expected. He's having a lot of issue with his liver right now. So if you wouldn't mind coming here, he's 23, Logan Campbell's team.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to be here. People say sometimes when they get to be my age, it's good to be anywhere. But anyway, you know, you sometimes look out and you see some preachers there, and you think to yourself, you know, I'm a son of a preacher, but I never really was a preacher. I mean, although we should all be preachers. But anyway, sometimes you see a singles hitter coming up, and there's a couple power hitters sitting out there, and you think maybe they should be up here instead. But we'll open the Bible, and we'll trust God. All right. So if we could open up tonight to Psalm 119. Now we had been working our way through 1 John, but been gone for so long here with this crazy situation here. I think I did speak once, I guess, since you started back up. But anyway, I've been teaching in Psalm 119, and it's just been so profitable. I thought maybe we'd spend some time there this evening. Now you know Psalm 119. If you ever hear a guy say turn to Psalm 119, I hope he's not going to preach through the whole thing, because it's not only in the longest book of the Bible, but it's the longest chapter of the Bible. But we'll try to deal with 8 verses tonight, and we'll deal with the second 8 verses. But you know, it's interesting when you look at Psalm 119, and when you're as old as I am, you've heard an awful lot of messages on Psalm 119. I mean, it's got a lot of good stuff in it. It really does. But you know, I've got a new appreciation for it here just recently, and as I've read through it, it almost feels like you're sitting in on somebody's personal devotions. You know, we believe that this is David that wrote this. Now, some will argue about that, but I believe it was David. But anyway, but you know, it's so personal, and you just feel like you're sitting in there and you're reading his prayer journal, so that he might have written down personally, and that's the way you feel. There's a lot of doctrine in Psalm 119, but it's also a lot of emotion in Psalm 119. And if you can't find yourself in Psalm 119, you're not probably looking too hard. Because there's things like loneliness, there's love, there's sorrow, there's regret, there's contrition, there's discouragement, there's turmoil, there's shame, there's exaltation, marveling, delight, joy, gladness. I mean, it goes from one end of the spectrum to the other of the emotions of David. And so we're going to look at the second eight verses here. Now, again, another thing, of course, the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, we believe. And there are 22 eight-verse stanzas in the 119th Psalm. And each one is alphabetically alliterated, which is, you know, we don't see that in our English translation, but each verse, sometimes the verse is two sentences, sometimes it's one, but each verse begins with a succeeding letter in the alphabet of the Hebrew language, 22 consonants. And so it's interesting, this second one, if we were speaking Hebrew today, we would see that each one begins with B, or the letter Bet or Beth. But anyway, that may not be worth anything, but it's true. So anyway, let's read the eight verses here, starting with verse 9. And many verses in Psalms just jump out at you because they're verses that you memorized when you were very small. And, there's probably 10 or 15 verses in here that all you got to do is read, see the first couple words. Oh, I know that verse. And you say it. But anyway, let's start with verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. There's one of them right there. I mean, if you grew up in any kind of a church that preached the gospel, you memorized that verse before you were 5 years old. But anyway, then verse 11, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. All right, let's start with a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that you've not only inspired it, but you preserved it for our use today. And we have it right in front of us. And we pray that you'd help it to be profitable in our lives this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're talking here in this section a lot about guarding. And you know, I heard a story one time of a prison in Portugal in 1978. Does anybody know what I'm gonna? Good. Well, then I'm not telling something that I heard that story before. Yeah, but anyway, this was a maximum security prison in Portugal. And every Friday night they would have a movie night where they would show a movie and to give the inmates something to look forward to. And they had a guard system in this prison that was lacking. And there was about half the prisoners showed up for the movie night, which should have been what's going on? This is what they love to do. Where are they all at? They didn't bother to even take a head count. They just noticed, well, the turnout's a little light tonight. And so anyway, they showed up at breakfast the next morning and about the same group. Now they missed the movie night and now they're missing breakfast. Something's up. And one of the inmates happened to mention to the guards, you know, they're gone. They broke out last night. And then they took account of the knives in the kitchen and noticed half the knives were gone too. So something failed in the guard system. in this prison. You can look it up. It was 1978 in Portugal if you want to get the whole story. It's kind of an interesting story. But the point that I'm making is guards are put there for a reason. They're put there for a reason, and when they don't do their job, you get in trouble. And we need to put guards in our own life, and we have a lot of good guards right here in the book of Psalms, and in especially in this 8-verse section here. And so the guards that we put in our lives are there to guard us from sin and the destruction that it will cause in our lives. We need to put these guards in place. Some of the things that, it starts here in verse 9, it's talking about the young man. And I do believe that the gender is important there, but it's certainly also true of young ladies. It's also true of older men like myself and the older ladies that may be here. The facts are applicable to all of us. And how do we cleanse our way? By taking heed to the Word of God. And so why do we have to guard against sin and its destruction? Because we all deal with it, all of us. And we can deal with wrong attitudes that come in our lives. We have to guard our lips. Did you ever say something, and as soon as you said it, you wish you could just reach out there and grab that word and bring it back, but it's too late. It's already out there. You know, if the guard was taken off, you know, you should have a mouth guard on there to keep you from, I hate these masks, though. Don't you hate the masks? You know, I carry the mask with me, and I'll start to walk in, and if I can get away with it, I'll get away with it without putting it on. But then, you know, sometimes I guess I got to put it on. So I got to put it on. But anyway, so we got to guard our lips. We have to guard our decision-making. Our decision-making. You know, you can pick your choices, but you can't pick the results.
That's right.
And that's what happens. And then how about wrong associations?
Yes.
So all these things, you know, we apply them many times to young people, but they're just as important for us as older folks. They're just as important. So anyway, how do we guard? How do we put the guard up? Well, the word of God functions like a guard in our life. That's why it's important to know the Word of God. And first of all, the first thing here, I try to always have 3 or 4 points. I think I've got 4 tonight. But the first one is love the Bible. We need to love the Bible. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And so we need to love the Bible. Now, sin and sin's consequences are dangerous. They're dangerous in our life. And so what do I do? Well, we're on this thing called a walk, a walk through life, a pathway. And we need to put guards up in that walk. Sin is destructive. And how do I guard against it? How do I protect myself against sin and its destructive effects in my life? We guard our way with the Word of God. Now, I don't know if you ever heard of bumper bowling, but when I learned to bowl, I'll show you how long ago, they didn't have bumper bowling. You know, I had to learn by throwing a gutter ball once in a while, and I got fairly decent at bowling. I had about a 170 average at one point. I haven't bowled for years. I don't know what I would do today, but I never had bumpers in there to keep me from throwing a gutter ball. Now, you know, I suppose if you're just learning and if you're 5 years old or 6 years old, 7 years old, you know, you wouldn't be too embarrassed to put the bumpers in. But if you turned on the PBA on Saturday afternoon to watch the professional bowlers and they put the bumpers out before they went out to win the big money, that you'd think, this is crazy. This is crazy. But, you know, we never want to get so sure of ourselves that we don't put the bumpers up in our Christian life. I'd feel a little funny bowling with bumpers. I don't know if I could do that. I'd be too embarrassed. I said, get those things off of there. I said, I can do this. But I can't do this without the bumpers of the Word of God in my life. I have to realize that in and of myself, can't do it. You know, can't do it. I need help. And So in verses 10 and 11 here, we see this. It mentions the heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The heart's important because it reveals what's important to you. What's important to you? What when I was talking to the gentleman here before the service about baseball. You know, I love baseball, and you know, I put a lot of statistics, useless statistics, in my heart when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. And I can tell you today, you can name almost any player from that area. I can tell you what number they wore on their back. I can tell you what they hit, what their batting average was, how many home runs they had in many years. It's ridiculous. My wife says, why do you have all that useless information in there? I said, well, it was important to me. It was important to me at the time. And so, but you know, this should be important to us. And if it is, we'll hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against God. So that's the first point. We need to love the Bible. And we need to love the Bible. Now, secondly, we could put our second point here actually in a form of a quiz. We could ask you tonight, we could make a statement and say, is this true of you? People hear me talk about the Bible all the time. And if you would say, well, you know, that'd be never for me. They would never hear me talk about the Bible. You'd get one. If you could say, well, once in a while, you know, sometimes they maybe do, they give you five for it. But if they hear you always, boy, that guy, you won't talk to him 5 minutes before he brings up the Word of God. He's going to tell you something about the Bible. You ask him a question, he's going to give you a Bible answer. You get 10 points then. So that would be the first part of the quiz here. Now, when you love something, you talk about it. You know, my wife doesn't usually have to wonder what to get me if she wants to buy me a present. Maybe my birthday's coming up, or maybe she just wants to get something for me, because I'll probably drop a hint now and again, and I'll talk about it, and she'll know because I talk about that. And it's the same thing with the Bible. If we love the Bible, we're going to talk to people about the Bible, and they will associate the Bible with us. It'll be a natural thing. You know, suppose there was a printed transcript that was flashed up on the screen here, and it printed everything that you said in the last week. Every single thing that you said. What would the emphasis be? Would there be a theme that kind of showed itself? And hopefully it would be the Bible, or it would be the Word of God. How do you respond to situations? Do you respond to problems, to a crisis? Or how about the goals in your life? How do you verbalize those? Is the Word of God central in those things? Hopefully it is. Now, second statement. Suppose somebody said this: people describe me as a person who obeys the Bible with great joy. Okay, no, they wouldn't say that about me. Well, you only get 1 point then. Or, yeah, you know, a little bit. Once in a while, I enjoy doing things for the Lord. So maybe you get 5 points. But if somebody would say, you know, that guy just gets a kick out of serving Christ. Everything about the Word of God and being obedient, you know, witnessing to people, helping people, sharing the gospel, he just loves it. Well, you get 10 points. So you judge yourself. You know, I can't judge you. I can judge me. But anyway, along that line, the verse says here, I have rejoiced in thy testimonies. Where are we at here? We're in 13 and 14. Yeah, declared thy judgments, and I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You know, did you ever see somebody on the TV when they win the Publisher's Clearinghouse? Oh, they're jumping up and down, you know, and they're happy as can be. Well, that we ought to get that kind of a charge out of serving the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and how about Sunday morning? Sunday morning comes around, you know, and do you wake up and say, oh boy, honey, Sunday morning. What do you think? Should we go? Should we go this morning? You know, I never had to ask that question. My dad was the preacher. You know, my dad was the preacher, so, you know, I never wondered, am I going to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? I would stay home from school on Wednesday, and my mom would say, you can go to church tonight. It's only an hour and a half or so. Yeah, and the church is only down the street from where we live. Get your clothes on. You get down to church. That's not going to hurt you. You know, that'll help you. But anyway, doing that, I developed a love for going to church. I love to go to church. You don't have to get me, put a prod in me to get me out of bed. I enjoy it. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because that's the way I was raised. I cut my teeth on listening to preaching. My dad would pile me in the car with him when he was 5 years, when I was 5 years old. He wasn't 5 years old. I was 5 years old. And he'd take me to hear some evangelist or to go to a missions conference, you know, half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours away sometimes. And I grew to like it. I grew to enjoy it. And how about serving? Are you the kind of person that when something comes up in the church that needs to be done, the pastor can say, well, you know, I'll ask him. I know he'd do it. He always wants to. Whatever needs to be done, he'll do it. Or are you one of these people that you're back in the corner, you know, hiding out, and when they're asked for a raise of hands to do something, you know, you just kind of slump down in your seat. You know, you don't want any part of it. So hopefully, you know, we develop a love, not only for the Bible, but a love for the work of God and the people of God and the church of God. We love those things. Remember, got to have the guards up, though. Got to have the guards up. You can't be watching on the television the things that would take you away from those. I mean, I thought to myself, as I see things deteriorate, and, you know, it's a lot different than when I grew up in the 1950s. It's a lot different than today. And I've talked to my wife about this often, and I say, you know, I don't think I can be shocked anymore. It's just one thing after another. I can't be, but this year, I have been shocked. I mean, can you believe this? I shouldn't talk about politics, but this Black Lives Matter and Antifa and this stuff, this is baloney.
That's right.
This is terrible. And not only do they want to be allowed to do what they want to do, they want us to validate it.
Right.
They want us to put our stamp of approval on it. This is not right, you know. So you just wonder, how far will it go? How far will it go? But anyway, so then number three, we might say this. How do we make improvements? You know, we've just taken this quiz here, and we may have made some assumptions that maybe weren't true. And now we've had to look at ourselves a little bit here, and we said, well, you know, I need to make some improvements. Well, we need to love the Bible. We said that. But how do we love the Bible? Well, we need to love the author of the Bible.
Amen.
We need to love the author first. If we love the author, we will love what he wrote to us. It'll just be natural. And you know, my wife is down at the Jersey Shore right now, and I'm going down there after the service, and I'm going to drive down there and spend a couple days with her, and then we come home on Saturday because I have a Sunday school class on Sunday morning. We started our dating relationship in 1969. She was a waitress down there at the Jersey Shore, Ocean City, a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant owned by a Christian lady there called the Emily Dining Room. And she and a couple of her college roommates, they all had the job at the same place, and they lived in a boarding house, a rooming house there owned by a Christian lady. And then I would come down sometimes on weekends with some of my friends. I was going to summer school at the time because I had flunked out of college. And I had to get back in so I could go back to the same college again that following year. But anyway, I would go down and see her on weekends. But every day that whole summer, she would write me a letter. So every day I would go to the mailbox. The only reason I wouldn't get it, sometimes the mail would get messed up, and I'd get two the next day then. But she wrote every single day. Now, you know, you may have gotten letters. I wouldn't care to read your letters. Wouldn't mean a thing to me. But I loved those letters because they were written by Karen. Karen was writing them just to me. And I love those letters. And to be honest with you, I still have those letters. I still have them. I've got about 40-some letters that she wrote that summer. And I still have them. I couldn't tell you exactly where they are, but I still have them. But the point is, they are not just words on a page. You know, they were important to me. They were personal. They were written to me. Well, this is written to us. And it's personal. And it's profitable. And it'll help us. We need to meditate on those things. Like I would read those letters. I'd read them sometimes 3 and 4 times before the next one came the next day. Because it was important to me. So I would meditate on those letters. Now, you know, I wonder what she meant by that. Now, why did she say that way? Now, she could have said it this way. She said it this way, I think this is going somewhere here. This is good, you know. And so I would analyze these letters that she wrote to me. Well, we need to do that with the Word of God. And in order to meditate on the Word of God, where does it have to be? It has to be in here and in here. It has to be in there. So you've got to read it first and study it so that as you're driving down the highway, you can meditate on it. Some people say, well, you know, I read the Bible through last year. I don't think I need to do that again. Well, you know, you ate last year too. But you didn't stop eating now, you know. Well, I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner 3 times a day all last year. I don't need to do that again. That's boring. No, it isn't boring. You know, most of us don't miss a meal. We hardly will miss a meal. And so that ought to be our attitude toward the Word of God, toward the Bible. We ought to be meditating on it. It's our nourishment. And not, some people say, well, you know, I don't bother with the Old Testament. That's too dry, too boring. I like to read the stories in the Gospels. That's where I spend most of my time in John. I like John. Well, wait a minute. We believe in the whole counsel of God. He gave us the whole thing, Genesis to Revelation. And it's all important. It's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, truly furnished unto all good works. It's important, cover to cover. So we don't neglect any of it. And you know, there's one interpretation. Did you ever think about that? There is one interpretation. Now, there's many applications, but there's one interpretation. Now, I always want to be right, but I have changed my view a few times in 70 years. I can remember when I was in college, I thought I knew everything. You know how those college kids are? You know, I thought I knew everything. And I used to think to myself, and I hear my dad say something, you know, that's not what the college professor said. I think maybe he needs to brush up on that a little bit. And you know, then after listening to him preach for another 5 years, when I got to be about 25, I realized that my dad was right. The college professor was wrong. You know, my dad was the preacher. He had the authority. College professors don't have authority, by the way. The authority comes from this book in this place, in the sacred desk. They're the ones that have the authority to handle the Word of God. Now, I'm not just demeaning college education. It's fine. I think that's fine. But I really believe that Bible colleges ought to be under the authority of a local church too, in order to be effective. I really believe that. But anyway, well, we're about out of time here. It's quarter of. But what did Paul beg for when he was in prison? He said, bring me the books, and especially the parchments. Right. You know, he had a desire for the Word of God. And, you know, he was, I don't even know how much of the Word of God he had at that point. It probably was mostly Old Testament stuff, maybe a couple of the letters he might have had a hold of, I'm not sure. But boy, he wanted it. He needed that. He needed the encouragement and the instructions from the Word of God. It was important to him. And so we need to delight in the Word of God. We need to regularly apply it to our lives. And we need to realize that, did you ever hear somebody, I already made this point, but did you ever say, well, you know, this is what this means to me.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute, I don't care what it means to you.
Amen.
Not to be impolite, but I want to know what it means.
Amen.
I want to know what it means. And now I can apply it to my situation, but it doesn't mean anything different to you than it means to me. It means what it means. And so we need to study to show ourselves approved. So this is a great thought here. And again, it starts out saying, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's good for you and me just as well. We don't need to worry about the teenager. We can apply that to our lives as well. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you didn't just inspire your words, but you preserved them. And we have them today. We can read them. We can hear them preached. We can apply them to our lives, and we can use them in our family and in our work life, in our children's lives. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful. And in this day when we see so many people going the wrong way, we pray you'd help us to be diligent with the Word of God to get them back on track. And we pray for our country that you would keep it free for the preaching of God's Word until you come back. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.